Today is March 11, 2013, and we do have a quorum. I should advise people that we have two members on the speakerphone, Ann Glumac and Dan Wenner, I believe. Ann and Dan, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Yep, I can too.
Okay, I'll ask the members who are present here to speak up when they are speaking so that the phone system can pick it up. Let me suggest that we address the approval of the minutes first as per our agenda. I note that we did not deal with the minutes from the meeting 2 weeks ago, so I'm open to any motions with respect to the minutes.
I'll move the minutes of both meetings of February 25th and March 4th, Mr. Chairman.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from both meetings. Any discussions, questions, comments, changes? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion to approve both sets of meeting minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. I should advise you that despite the way we just handled that, when we get to the formal motions on the recommendations, I've been advised by Mr. Hubinger that because we have two members on the telephone, that we'll need to do the votes by roll call. So that will be the procedure on motions hereafter. I believe all of you have the packet of information from the staff, which includes not only the minutes, but also a draft report that we circulated, and a spreadsheet that shows the history of the compensation changes. And I believe all of you should have in your packet an email that I was asked to relay to the Compensation Council from the chair of the Public Utilities Commission, who read the article in the newspaper about the Compensation Council and sent this email. I invited her to send a representative, but she asked that she was unable to do that. She asked that we circulate this email. So with that, I'll open the floor to any discussion, and let me suggest that we use the draft report, which reflects the recommendations passed at the last meeting, as the basis for our discussion so that we can focus the discussion this evening. Mr. Schroeder.
Mr. Chair, I wonder if it might make sense to have Mr. Hubinger just quickly walk us through the report.
Mr. Hubinger, can you do that for us?
Mr. Chair and members, I'm happy to do that. The first two pages are background information based on the testimony that you've received over the last month. Talks about history of increases for the judiciary, for legislators, and for constitutional officers, and also references the study that was done by the District Court Judges Association and some of their findings that we have referenced in this summary. Also describes briefly the issue, the specific issues that we took quite a bit of testimony on regarding the impacts of the salary limits on that are imposed by agency heads in current statute. The last two pages, page three, and part of page four, comprise the recommendations that were discussed and voted on at the last meeting.
Any comments, questions? for Mr. Hubinger about the way the draft report is structured. Representative Holbrook.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just unfortunately wasn't able to be here last week, and I apologize for taking the committee's time with these questions. But to fill us in a little bit, as we left 2 weeks ago, we were looking for some input from legislative leaders. And I'm wondering, in looking at the minutes, it doesn't look like they took us up on that offer. Somebody wants to give me the Cliff Note version of that and where we're at. And then the second thing in the recommendations, it looks like the recommendation is that the legislative salaries would be tied to the governor's. And is that constitutional?
Mr. Hubinger, do you want to let us know whether you got any reaction to the inquiry to the legislature last meeting?
Mr. Chin, Representative Holberg, and members, at the last meeting, we heard comments from the other legislative members that were in attendance, from Senators Rust and Senator Cohen, about their perspective. I wouldn't be able to say if that was explicitly at the direction of leadership of either body.
If I might, did you contact the leaders of the House and Senate for input, and they declined, or?
Mr. Chen, Representative Holbrook, I talked to leadership staff in both bodies, and the legislative speaker's staff and the Senate Majority Leader's staff indicated that they'd be working through their members on the council.
Okay. And then the issue of the tying the legislative salary to the governor's salary as a percent, how does that function within the Constitution that says that, like, my memory is that we have to approve increases for the next session or whatever. Is it, did anybody look at this? If it's tied to a proportion, is that good enough? Or
well, let me explain the history of how that recommendation came about, and then Mr. Hubinger can add whatever comments he made. During the last meeting, we discovered that the 2009 Compensation Council recommended that the salaries of legislators be tied to the governor's at 33%. And if that didn't happen, that there be some percentage increase. And my understanding is that neither of that happened. Neither of those alternatives came to pass, but that was the genesis of the discussion that led to the motion, I believe, last week.
Mr. Chair and Representative Holbrook, there was some discussion about this issue in 2009, and my memory of that from talking with counsel is that the constitutional requirement comes in when the legislature is acting on a proposal to increase their own salaries. And if they're not doing that, and if instead those salaries are tied to some other point, that requirement is satisfied.
All right. Thank you.
Representative Benson.
Thank you. Mr. Hubinger, the way it's proposed presently, the salary increase that would take effect January 1st of 15, it would be 33% more than the, or 133% of the governor's salary, which at that point will get a 3% increase.
I'm sorry,
33%. I had it right the first time. 33%, but the governor's going to get a 3% increase on January of 15 and again on January of 16. So this proposal would also increase the legislators' salaries to that 33% level?
Mr. Chair, Representative Benson, my understanding of the proposal is it would do exactly that, that the legislators' salaries in January 2015 would be 33% of their governor's salary in January of 2015. And the numbers on the spreadsheet that you have reflect that calculation.
Any other comments, discussion, motions? Representative Benson.
Thank you. I'm assuming that this is more than just, these are questions. We unfortunately, were on the exchange bill and couldn't make it. So I apologize again, like Representative Holberg did, for not. But I look at the Moe report for the judiciary, for the judges, and I see how that was calculated. And also, I believe I remember that the original proposal was for 2 4s and 2 2s. And now I've even seen that the 4 4s are even compressed so that it will take effect in essentially less than 3 years, if I'm not mistaken. And the compounding of that 16% or those 4s is about 17%. Because I have on the recommendations a 4 for this July, a 4 from a year from July, a 4 in January of 15, and a 4 of January of 16. So the council worked through the original recommendation of 2 4s and 2 2s and recommends 4 4s and in a compressed amount of time.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Schroeder.
Mr. Chair, Representative Benson, that's a great point, and I appreciate you bringing that up. And I concur with your concern and would ask that the council consider modifying on page 3, C and D, 1 C and D, modify January, and excuse me, cross out January and put in July for those two, so that would be a full year in between those, to try to get to some of the concern that you've raised. Because as it reads now, it will just be 6 months between the effective date of B, July 1st of 2014, and then January 1st of 2015.
So in effect, Mr. Schroeder, all changes would take place on July 1.
Mr. Chair, correct. That would be my suggestion, and at a time that's appropriate when the council is prepared to perhaps take a motion on this matter, we can make that modification.
Okay.
But I'm in concurrence with Representative Benson on that concern that he's raised.
All right. Any further discussion or comments? Well, are we ready to take a vote on the draft report, perhaps as amended? Senator.
Mr. Chairman, I recall a discussion with Mr. Schroeder a couple weeks ago and about the legislators are the only group that's part of this council. I mean, there are no judges and there's no actual state agency head that's here about the appropriateness in of the legislators voting on that part of the report. I don't have any difficulty voting on the other salaries, but I would wish to abstain voting on legislator salary.
All right.
And I thought that was a good point to be made. It's not that I don't support an increase. I do, but I just has a tinge of being unseemly.
All right. So as I understand it, you're suggesting that we hold a a separate vote on the legislative salaries.
Or
From the other two branches.
Or just excuse the legislators, unless they want to. I mean, I don't have any problem with anybody else doing it. I just feel uncomfortable.
Okay. All right. Mr. Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to follow up with Senator Rest's comment. I agree with that. Can we separate the legislative salaries outside as a separate motion?
Well, I think we can. I don't sense any opposition to that. That may be the most expeditious way of considering that.
Mr. Chair,
Mr. Saab, Jim.
Mr. Chair, and I concur that it would be done that way, although it's nice to have one proposal for everybody and take care of it all at once. But if that's an important issue and there's some good reasons why possibly that it would be separated, that it would be okay to do that. And I assume you're talking about having two separate votes, one for agencies, judicial branch and
I think that's what's been suggested.
And Mr. Chairman?
Representative Benson.
I guess I feel compelled to speak up on this issue. I have some real reservations about the entire package, only from the standpoint that I think we need to do this. There's a lot of this that makes absolute sense. I guess my worry is that it's there's a lot very quickly. It's an overreach. And, you know, I'm going to have some concerns regardless. For me, it won't matter if you separate it. I'll still vote the way I think that we need to vote, or I need to vote. So it won't make a difference for me if you want to keep it the same, too. Keep it one vote.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, do you need a motion to separate the two? Or do we just decide to do that by consensus?
Well, I think we can handle it either way. If somebody wants to make a motion to approve everything but the legislative salaries, we could handle it that way, I suppose. And then, Ms. Mulholland.
Mr. Chair, I would move passing sections 1, 2, and 4 of the recommendations, knowing, and I'd move that in order to get an amendment on the floor, which I think.
All right, we have the narrative section of the report. Are you saying that you would move adoption of the entire report except for paragraph 3 of the recommendations at this point?
Correct. Thank you.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Second by Mr. Scully. Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, was there a change made in item C and D under item 1? To reflect that July 1st.
I believe Mr. Schroeder is going to, at the appropriate time, make a motion to do that. And
Mr. Chair, thank you. Mr. Chair, thank you, Senator Rest. Yes, I'd like to amend a friendly amendment to Ms. Mulholland's motion on items 1, C, and D to strike January in both C and D and substitute July for the word January.
Ms. Mulholland, do you accept that as a friendly amendment?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Scully, you'll still second?
Yes.
All right. We have a motion and a second to approve the draft Compensation Council report. The draft is dated March 6, 2013, with the exception of paragraph 3 of the recommendations, which we'll address later, and including a modification to 1C and 1D with respect to judges' salaries to change the month from January to July in both 2015 and 2016. Any discussion on the motion as made and seconded? Or any further discussion, I should say? Mr. Hoffman.
Mr. Chair, is this just to separate or is this to approve 1, 2, and 4?
Just to approve.
So it's the official approval?
Yes, this would, my understanding, this would be official approval of the entire report with Section 1 is modified by Mr. Schroeder's suggestion and omitting Section 3 for the moment. Mr. Hoffman.
Mr. Chair, then if that's true, I would just like to follow up with a little bit in agreement with Mr. Benson or Representative Benson. It's a quick move. Now, I acknowledge and understand the agency issue challenge and the limit, the cap, and the range, that 114 to 118. Even on the judicial branch, I acknowledge and I understand the agency. On the judicial, I guess I acknowledge that, but I'm having a concern with the defined benefit side of it and really think that with the huge underfunded situation, that's definitely a problem for the state as we foresee in the future and presently, and it's only going to get worse. I guess with that, I would only recommend that the state get out of the defined benefit side of the programs and move more to a defined contribution, and so a little bit of concern with that.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Benson.
I guess this is the time for statements before we take a vote, which, by the way, you might be interested. I'm going to offer an amendment Pension Commission tomorrow night that would add an option for the judges to be able to take a defined contribution rather than defined benefit for new judges. My objections is that there's no limiters to this, so that essentially what could happen is the 1st of July, all these folks could, probably not, but they could all receive, some of these, a 33% increase. And that's an enormous increase all at one time without some kind of, and I know there's the political side of that, and the governor ultimately would be making some decisions relative to people moving forward. But I don't know, because I wasn't here, I don't believe I've looked at the minutes, there was no conversation around we can move the upper limits of this, but in terms of people currently in their positions would have to only get so much of that, say 4% or 5% a year, until they've reached that top, versus the authority given to the governor of just saying not arbitrarily, but we're going to make the case here, I suppose, that they need to move these people forward, but that's a big jump. And eventually in the court of public opinion, yes, absolutely, we need to look at this compensation case, but this is an enormous increase when there are lots of families out there who are not anywhere close to getting 33% increases in wages. So that's my concern. We send an awful tough message, I think, to the voting public.
Thank you. Any further discussion on the motion? Mr. Saab, Jim.
Mr. Chair, Representative Benson, the question, the 33% increase you're referring to is to the agency head, which would be, is it not actually more than that? Because they are now less than 100%, 90%. Now it would be going from 90 to 133%. That's right. So it's actually more than 33%. I can see your point why that may be part of me says that it's a we're trying to catch up, and it's been 15 years since these professionals have gotten what they should be getting, and I think you're right that when and if this happens, I don't think every layer below agency heads, and even the agency heads could go up to commissioners could go up to 160,000, which is, even if the governor doesn't get a raise, it's 120, 133% of the 160. And I don't know, I guess it's up to the governor to give the commissioners and bump them all the way to the top. That's one point. But the other layers below that, I imagine that it's a more of a gradual, like you're saying, that's more, and it'll take a few years maybe, as part of the managerial plan that they, looking at Mr. Lee, where they normally, where there's a range, and then they get raises gradually. Maybe if I could ask Mr. Lee, and it looks like he has something to say.
Welcome back, Mr. Lee.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Jim Lee with Management and Budget. You are correct. The managerial plan would be an additional limit, if you will, on the salaries of managerial employees below the agency heads. And that plan would need to go through a review process and be submitted to the Subcommittee on Employee Relations in order to reach the salaries that we're talking about, $160,000 or whatever. So the salaries of people below the agency head are controlled either by a contract or a compensation plan that's been reviewed and approved by the legislature.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Saab, Jim.
So which means that if the agency heads, in this case, if they would get the top of the range to 160, whether they get there or not, the rest of the organization, from what I understand, the next level down, the deputies are, the max is like 125 right now.
That's correct.
That's the maximum they can get to, 126. The next level down is like 118 or something like that. So, and right now they're around 108 or so. So it's not that big of a jump. And then eventually, like you said, it needs to be addressed and part of a bigger plan. What this does to me, Representative Benson and members, I think it raises that that top and raises it up for the future, for this, for these organizations to be more sustainable, that people see a future in those organizations, so they don't look up there and say, there is no, why should I get promoted if I'm not going to get a raise? I want to be able to grow and at least get a cost of living increase. And if they see that, then they tend to stay. I would have.
Ms. Mulholland.
Mr. Chair, Representative Benson, a couple of thoughts on this. First, these are salaries that have been suppressed since, to the best of my knowledge, based on looking at this chart, since 1998. So that's first. Second, we heard a lot of testimony about market and about salaries, and the range that is being recommended is certainly within the range and not exceeding it by any stretch of the imagination of market, even market of other units of government within the state of Minnesota. And then I would say, third, this gives the authority to the governor to make the decision within that range. By no means does it mean that the governor would choose to go to the range. And I can't imagine that in every case the governor would, but that would be at the discretion of, like in the private sector, a supervisor making a decision based on someone's performance and their ability to get to the range. So I don't see this as big of a jump. I think it feels like a jump because the last time this was addressed or any movement occurred was in 1998, but the recommendations since from 1998 to now have been consistent getting us to this place. So I think it's not as big of a jump as it feels for the moment, and it simply feels that way because the recommendations have not been supported legislatively for the last several years.
Mr. Chairman, I would like for this compensation to be supplanted. To be supported too, but I'm having some concerns with it, and I'm sure my colleagues will too. It's not unusual for compensation plans to have annual not to exceeds in terms of increases. And I'm just saying that we probably should have taken at least a look at some not to exceeds in percentages so as to not at least appear that there's a potential for all these salaries to go up to that level. So that's where I was going with that. Maybe I didn't make it clear. It was just to have a limiter in there of a not to exceed.
Representative Holbrook.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My understanding of how this works, though, is that if you have high numbers of service, high education, high performance standard, that you're evaluated where you are within the range. And so when the range moves so high, Mr. Lee can certainly come correct me if I'm wrong, but this large jump could occur all at once if you were at the top of the range already. It's not incremental. In other words, it's proportional to the range based on where you are with experience and jobs. So I don't know how unusual it actually would be for employees to make the whole jump all at once.
Mr. Lee, can you help us?
Mr. Chair. In a collective bargaining agreement, there may be a salary range reassignment, move a classification from one range to a higher range. And then what happens to the employees would be negotiable. And sometimes employees simply move to the higher range at their current rate of pay, and sometimes they move proportionately. If they go to a range that's 5% higher, they get a 5% increase. With the agency heads, there isn't any mechanism or practice to say that just because the salary range maximum is increased that there's an automatic increase for the incumbents. As a matter of fact, the history is that there's never an automatic increase. In 1998, when the ranges were last adjusted, the governor proposed and the legislature approved increases for the incumbents, but it went through that process. And I believe the increases were in the area of 40%. That was a different time. But there's nothing automatic. Just because you move the limit doesn't mean any individual automatically gets an increase.
And Mr. Chair,
Representative Holbrook.
I was so concerned about agency heads. I was looking more at that layer right underneath where we heard about all of that compression and that people were performing at the top of their salary range within that compressed number set. And so we stretched that, you know, up 30,000, 40,000 all at once. I'm assuming, and maybe this is where I'm wrong, is that those people that were at that top of that more compressed range are going to automatically rise nearly or to the top of the higher rate.
Mr. Chair, Representative Solbert, the managerial plan covers most of the people that are directly impacted by this, and it does require a performance review before there's any increase. They don't have steps in the pay ranges, so you can be paid any rate between the minimum and maximum, and that's at the discretion of the agency head. So there would be no automatic entitlement to a pay raise.
Right, but if I might, I'm sorry. If you are already at the highest level of that pay range, where's the rationale for not having you at the highest level of the new pay range?
Mr. Chair, are you talking about the Representative Holberg? Are you talking about the pay ranges for the managers?
Yes.
They would not be affected by this this recommendation. The managerial plan has already been approved by the legislature and implemented. So those pay ranges are in place. The Comp Council recommendations only affect the agency head salary limit.
But, Mr. Chair, we
go ahead.
Heard a lot of testimony about how those are artificially compressed because of the governor's salary and the agency head salary. And so we're basically going to take the lid off this with these higher recommendations. They're tied to those salaries that they can't make more than the governor or the agency head. I think the commissioner maybe understands my question more.
Well, Mr. Hubinger thinks he may be able to help out here.
And Mr. Chair and Representative Holbrook, just adding to what Mr. Lee was saying, even though the ranges are higher, but employees in the managerial plan have been capped by their agency head, the plans that are in place limit increases to 3.5% per year. So until a new plan is presented to the legislature and approved, managers, even though they will be able to go up to the real cap in their salary ranges, won't be able to unless there's a plan approved that provides for those increases.
Okay. That helps.
Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion or comments on the pending motion? Mr. Schroeder?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, thank you. I speak in favor of the motion and to the questions that have been raised. I think they're certainly legitimate ones. We have an economy where people are challenged in families, and I certainly don't lose sight of that. I don't think anyone here does. I think to the representatives who understandably had other pressing needs last week, part of what we talked about was a short-term and a long-term approach to this. In the longer term, one we haven't really talked about, which is an item 4E, which is an evaluation done by MMB or contracted by MMB, to look at far-ranging issues on market analysis of compensation, on total packages, as well as performance pay and so forth. And so it seems not impossible to me that if the legislature were to adopt this particular recommendation, an approach and a study could be done in sufficient time to be presented back to the legislature before next legislative session and incorporated into other considerations that they may or may not have. So I think the discussion last week was really short-term and long-term. The short-term is items, 1 through 4D, and then the longer-term one was 4E. Maybe not directly on point, Representative Benson, to your concerns, but I think we've tried to accommodate in spirit.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Benson.
Mr. Schroeder, I would have brought up the pay for performance had I not read that, simply because I think that needs to be addressed in some way. The agency heads and the top executives should be in some way tied to financial performance, employee performance in terms of work environment safety, and voice of the customer in terms of the service levels that are provided, and some kind of accurate quantitative survey taken of whether or not they're meeting service needs of their organization. So I appreciate that that was in here. My real concerns are just the potential for a fairly dramatic jump pretty quickly. So thank you.
Mr. Sobden.
Mr. Chair, my question is back to our council members who feel that this is still a reach. Is the reach, I think with what Mr. Lee talked about and what we said here, that it's the agents, the people below the agency head, they are not going to immediately jump up 40% to the top. I think they should, but it won't, but it's not real that it would. And it has to be studied as part of a plan and approved as part of a plan. So I'm trying to figure out what is the reach in this and what is other than a potentially, I see the media is here. The media would, people would think that it's a, see the numbers of 133% without knowing the details of it. Would overreact because I don't, if you do a fiscal note and do an analysis, I don't think that financially it's that big of a jump that people feel nervous about. So what I'm wondering if the overreaching is political or if it's real, financial.
Any further discussion on the motion? All right, hearing none, Ms. Olson, we're going to call the question. Would you take roll call?
Fraser.
Aye.
Allen. Benson.
No.
Cohen.
Yes.
Glumak.
Yes.
Hoffman.
Yes.
Holberg.
No.
Johnston. Miller. Mulholland.
Yes.
Ronnie.
Yes.
Rest.
Yes.
Sahibjum.
Yes.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Scully?
Yes.
Wenner?
Yeah.
All right, the motion carries 11 to 2. Ms. Mulholland.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move now section or paragraph 3 of the report, which addresses the salaries of legislators.
We have a second?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion to adopt paragraph 3 of the draft report? Mr. Chair. Sahibjum.
Mr. Chair, I feel almost as strongly about this specific motion as I do on the other one. The other one, we were talking more about professionals and maintaining professionals for the state of Minnesota, being able to recruit and retain professionals to run our state and continue to be a state-of-the-art in the country. As I recall, original testimony from Commissioner Showalter, the governor's goal was twofold. Number one, separate agency head salary from under the governor's salary. Number two was to give a raise to legislators. While he understands, I'm sure, that that's very difficult, I would like to say I've, throughout my 20 years working with legislators, and I think they're I call them professionals, too, as in what they do. Especially a lot of the veterans that I see in this room that are members of this council, and I've worked with many of them. I strongly support. I feel like they have not been treated financially the way they should be over the past years, and no, we're not. It's not a full-time job. I totally understand that. So if the motion stays as written here, I fully support that, and I hope it passes. Thank you.
Mr. Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, just in follow-up on that, by definition, is the position of a legislator part-time? By definition?
Mr. Hubinger, you want to take a crack at that?
Mr. Chair, members, there's no statutory definition that I'm aware of that describes that they have their duties and their salary, and there's nothing more than that.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rest.
Also just point out that our compensation is monthly. It's not just compensation during the session.
Mr. Hoffman.
Follow up, but the session is 3 months. 100 days? Normal definition of a session?
Mr. Chairman, in the budget year, what we call the budget year, the odd year, we come into session the first Tuesday, the first Monday of January, and we have a statutory adjournment the third Monday in May. In the even year, the legislature calls itself into session at a time that they determine, a date that they determine. Usually it's in January. It's been as late as mid-February, as I recall. And then there's a constitutional deadline once again in May. But we may not meet for more than 120 session days. But we usually only use two session days because that's a floor session. Otherwise, we meet in committees the rest of the week.
Thank you.
Any further discussion on the motion? Senator Cohen.
Chairman, just procedural. Senator Rest indicated a question whether or not the legislators should abstain relative to this vote. If that were to be the case, just procedurally, you would need either to pass or to defeat the motion. Now you have a quorum of, 13 of the 16? Is that correct?
Mr. Hubinger?
Mr. Chair, we have 14 out of the 16 here. Oh, Senator Miller is not here. He had checked in but then left, so he would not be counted.
So, Mr. Chairman, you have 13 of the 16 members present for the vote. But the four legislators, if they were to abstain, that would, in effect, be a no vote then, at least on this motion.
Was your question whether an abstention is, if the legislators abstain, there would be nine voting, and under any definition, we would have a quorum, correct?
Well,
that's not what he means.
Mr. Chairman, that's what I just want to make sure I ascertain. You would only need a majority of the quorum voting. You don't need a majority. You don't need eight of the 16 or nine of the 16. You would only need, if there are 13 members voting, you would only need seven.
That's correct.
Is it? Okay.
Mr. Hubinger advises that's correct.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rest.
The decision to abstain is up to each legislator. If legislator wanted to vote yes or legislator wanted to vote no, they'd be able to do so. Correct?
Yes, I don't think we're imposing any blanket rule. I think this is an individual decision on the part of legislators, whether they want to not vote on their own compensation. Although I note that if it comes to the floor, you'll have to make a separate decision later on. The only people that can change the compensation are members of the legislature. For the legislators who are then sitting after the next election.
Correct, Mr. Hubinger.
Any further discussion on the motion? All right, we'll call the question. I'll ask Ms. Olson to conduct a roll call.
Fraser.
Yes.
Allen. Benson.
No.
Cohen.
Stain.
Glumick.
Yes.
Hoffman.
No.
Holberg.
Abstain.
Johnston. Miller. Mulholland.
Yes.
Ronnie.
Yes.
Rest?
Me. Abstain.
Sahabjam?
Yes.
Schroeder?
Aye.
Scully?
Yes.
Wenner?
Yeah.
All right, the vote was 8 in favor, 2 opposed, with 3 abstentions. So the motion carries. Any other business we should conduct of the 2013 Compensation Council?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Schroeder.
Mr. Chair, you're going to leave?
We'll defer to you,
before,
Mr. Saad.
Before you move the motion to leave, I'd like to mention there's cookies here. For, it's my 54th birthday, and I would like everybody to have a few. I'll take the rest home. Don't worry.
He didn't want to mention earlier because he didn't want to influence any votes.
That's right.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Schroeder.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Senator Cohen makes a point. I think it's Mr. Hubinger might answer the question. Do we now need to vote on the entire report now that we've separated this out?
Mr. Chair, member, I don't think so. I think you've adopted all of the components of it, and so we'll assemble it and, as you voted on it and have it signed and forwarded to the leadership and to the members.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Schroeder.
Would this be the time to introduce an amendment for retroactive pay for former chiefs of staff?
Only chiefs of staff.
How far do you want to go back?
You
may have a statute of limitations.
I think we have one no vote over here.
No, I just clarifying chiefs versus deputies.
Yeah, exactly.
And Mr. Chair, I just want to be sure to acknowledge in the record the work of Mr. Hubinger and his staff, both for the council and the agency heads and their staffs that came before us to present information. It was very helpful and useful. I wish we had more time to dive into it, Representative Benson, much further, and we'll leave it to others to do that on behalf of the people of Minnesota. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Schroeder. Any other business? Any other comments? We have a motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
So moved.
We have a second.
I'll second it, Mr. Chair.
We won't call a roll on this one. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
I'm over it, man.
Carries unanimously. Thank you very much, everybody, for your commitment and for your willingness to do this with all deliberate speed. And thank you, Ms. Gloom.